Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us in our Lenten meditation today, as we take a look at the first feast of the Old Testament, from the Old Testament, a book of Leviticus, chapter 23, where again we hear, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the people of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with blast of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord." This is God's word. The church year season that we call Lent has been described as a time of preparation. And this is true. It's accurate in a number of ways. In one sense, we are preparing for the great festival day of Easter, the resurrection of our Lord, enhanced by Holy Week's services of remembrance. In another sense, the preparation is directed at ourselves. It is meditation on Jesus' works and words. It is reflection on ourselves, for we made his words and works necessary. As the days begin to lengthen, we lend ourselves more time in Lent to let God's Word and Holy Spirit go to work on us, moving us to real repentance and more fervent faith, a time of preparation indeed. Speaking of preparation, this year we're going to examine the way God was preparing His Old Testament people through their worship, preparing them through their church year, if you will. Preparing them for what? Excellent question. Through their worship, he was preparing them for the reign and rule of his Messiah. And here's the most fascinating fact about that. The Messiah himself participated in those worship patterns when he arrived. Jesus, the one person to whom all these special days pointed, participated in them. That's the link we're looking at this Lent. And it starts today with the Feast of Trumpets, also known as Rosh Hashanah. The simple fact of the matter is Jesus was Jewish. He was born into a Jewish home. He was dedicated at the temple according to Jewish custom. He worshipped at the temple often, celebrating the festivals his father had ordained. So for him, the Feast of Trumpets would have been a day of rest, a day of preparation, a day of sacred assembly at that temple in Jerusalem, and a day to bring an offering to the Lord. It was a day commemorated with trumpet blasts that would have gotten everyone's attention. And it also signaled a time of preparation for the Day of Atonement to be observed 10 days later. And we'll get to that next week. Today, the Feast of Trumpets is considered the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, Hebrew for top or head of the year. Now, the festivals of the Jewish community are agrarian in nature, meaning that they follow the cycle of the harvest. While the first month, which normally occurs in the spring in the northern hemisphere, is the beginning of the religious year, the autumn is the beginning of the civil year and starts with the blast of trumpets. And the sound of the trumpet, the sound of the shofar, is used by God in many ways in Scripture's history. While many churches use bells to call people to worship, to signal that it's time to come in, throughout the Bible, God uses the trumpet to bring His people into a holy place. And at this time of year, more than any other, Jewish people come to their synagogues to worship. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, are called the High Holy Days. And synagogues are typically full on those days. The Jewish people believe something else about the trumpet. Tradition says that when the trumpet sounds on Rosh Hashanah, God opens three books: the Book of Life, the Book of Death, and an intermediate book. When He opens those books, He inscribes names into them, and those who have been exceptionally good, perfect, in fact, get their names inscribed in God's Book of Life. Those who have been especially wicked, God inscribes their names into the Book of Death. That means everyone else whose fate is undetermined, He inscribes into that intermediate book. It's traditional at Rosh Hashanah for Jewish folks to send cards to one another saying, "May your name be inscribed in the Book of Life." But that's just a greeting. A greeting with no assurance whatsoever. Those who hear the trumpet and come to God are left to wonder, what book will I end up in? So, for the 10 days after Rosh Hashanah, which are called the Days of Awe, A-W-E, the Jewish community works to assure themselves a place in the right book. This is a time during which debts are repaid, old animosities forgiven, good deeds are done, deeds that are done in order to persuade God, put me in the good book. Something else happens on the Day of Trumpets. The story of the binding of Isaac is read on that day. The same reading you heard today. The trumpet sound is a reminder to the Jewish community of this biblical historical event. And it's all set up like this. Abraham is called out of his home. God said, "Go," and he went. He took his wife and his nephew, all his possessions, and followed God's promise that he would become a great nation. And so let's travel back to Mount Moriah during Abraham's time. We're at the base of that mountain with him. 3 days earlier, Abraham had been asked to take his son, the very seed of God's promise, for whom he had waited so long, and sacrifice him on the mountaintop. Abraham has come to Moriah with Isaac, two servants and a donkey. He had to have been anguished, gripped with mixed emotions. Not only was this his beloved son, he was the living evidence of God's promise for his people. Was God already breaking his covenant that he had established with Abraham? Certainly not. Abraham knew God's character as fact. God does not break his word. But Abraham still must have asked himself, why am I climbing this mountain to sacrifice my son? Abraham's faith in God's character gave him the strength needed Abraham tells the servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham places the wood for the offering on Isaac's back while he carries the fire and the knife. And Isaac then asks the question that begs to be asked, that's crying out to be asked. The fire is here. The wood is here. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? How do you tell your son, the lamb is you? But then Abraham's faith in God gives him the answer. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the altar is built. Isaac is bound. The knife flashes in the sun, raised above the child of the promise, but an angel stops Abraham at the very last second, leads him to a ram caught in a thicket by his horns, a ram provided by God. And so for the third time, God promises that his covenant with Abraham will be fulfilled. All nations will be blessed through him. So as we return from Mount Moriah, the ram's horn sounds. It sounds as a reminder of Abraham's faithfulness and of God's promise. The Feast of Trumpets calls all to worship. Calls us to a living relationship with God. The trumpet does not call out to us once a year, but every moment of our lives as we respond to God with thanks for what He has provided. And the trumpet does not simply remind us of Abraham's faith, with which God was pleased, but it announces that God was sending a greater sacrifice to come. This future sacrifice is one we can show to those who will cross our path, a picture for those who listen to Abraham and Isaac's story but don't yet see it with the eyes of faith. It's a picture that can sustain us when our way gets rough. Just as Abraham put the wood for the sacrifice on his son's back and led him up to the top of a mountain, God laid the wood for the sacrifice on his son's back and led him to the top of a mountain. Now, have you heard this before? Jewish tradition says that Mount Moriah and Golgotha are the same place. God stopped Abraham's hand and provided a substitute for Isaac. It was not yet time for the lamb that God would provide, but when the time was right, God would sacrifice his own son. It was the only way to open the book of life forever. For those who see the sacrifice and believe, as Abraham did, in God, it is credited as righteousness. If you believe in this sacrifice Jesus is presenting, your name is inscribed in the book of life. There is no more work to be done. The days of awe are no longer days of dread, wondering if human work is going to be sufficient. Have I done enough? Have I been good enough? Have I pleased God so that He'll put my name in the book? You don't put your name in the book. Jesus has written your name in the book. We are awestruck at the works and deeds of God who has redeemed us through the sacrifice of his Son, Jesus. And the days of awe and wonder continue because we know Jesus did not stay in his tomb, but God raised him from the dead. And he walks with us today. And he meets with us at his table. And we await blowing of trumpets because they will announce the day when Jesus comes to take us home. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many ways in which you embed the story of your redemption in the worship life that we experience today, as well as the Old Testament way of worship, especially in the story read before so many people, the sacrifice of the Son of Promise. You provided the substitute for Isaac. You provided your Son as the substitute for us, so that when we behold his sacrifice and believe that he did it for us, the benefits are ours. Lord Jesus, meet us at your table today. Feed us with your own body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the enlivening of our faith, that we would look forward to hear your trumpet sound when we will see you face to face. We pray in your name. Amen.